Well, I hope we'll all practice caution, but also know that the Lord's on the throne. Look in the bulletin at the article by Arthur Pink, and he was talking about something back then, but I thought it's exactly what we need for today. Don't look at it now. Wait till, you know. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. Two kinds of people. Those who perish and those which are saved. To us which are saved, it, the preaching of the cross, is the power of God. Let's pray. Lord, we ask in Christ's name that we might hear the preaching of the cross this morning. What more could we ask for? Give us grace to hear and believe the preaching of the cross. Lord, we pray that your will would be done in all things as we know it will. We pray according to your will that you would make a cure for this coronavirus, if it be your will. Give us grace to think, walk, and talk in a way that honors your gospel. Forgive us of our many sins. Bless all your people everywhere for Christ's sake. In his name we pray. Amen. Now I can believe that the Bible is the Word of God, the inspired Word of God, and I can be completely ignorant of the message of the Bible. And let me repeat that. I can believe and stand for the Bible being the inspired Word of God, and I can be completely ignorant of the message of the Bible, and I am ignorant of the message of the Bible if I don't see that it only has one message: the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only message of the Bible. And if I do not see that, I don't really understand the Scriptures. Now in our text, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross, that word preaching is the word logos, the Greek word word, the preaching or the word of the cross. Now, what is the one way that you're going to find out what's going on in here? By the words that come out. There's no way you can understand what's going on in my mind unless you hear the words that come out. Now, what is the word that comes out of God's mind? The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's word with regard to himself. That is God's manifestation of himself. When God speaks, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, not simply Christ, but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the word that comes out. The cross of Christ, his person and his work, is the expression of the mind of the infinite, eternal, immutable, independent, sovereign God. I think that is so glorious. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ is the word that comes out of God's mind that expresses who he is. And there is no saving knowledge of God without the knowledge of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what do I mean by that? There are some things we can know about God without knowing anything about the cross. And notice I said know about God. Not know God, but know about God. I can look at the creation and I can know that God is all powerful in making this creation. And that's a logical deduction too. I mean, it's you can't look at creation and come up with any other thing but that God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I realize some people would deny that, but they didn't always deny it. Everybody is born with that knowledge. God created the universe, and nobody created him. We can see that without the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there is no saving knowledge of God apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I love Henry Mahan's statement that I've used so many times, and it's really God's statement. I don't want to give credit to any man, but I love this statement. The cross is the whole counsel of God. Let me think about that. The cross is the whole counsel of God. Now, I'd like to begin by giving you three things with regard to the doctrine of the cross, or the word of the cross, or the preaching of the cross. Number one, the cross, the doctrine of the cross, the word of the cross, the preaching of the cross, is God's eternal purpose. Revelation 13. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I don't know of a verse of scripture that I love more than that verse of scripture. I say that about a lot of scriptures, I realize that, but I love this. Because this is a reminder to us that before there was ever a sinner, there was a Savior. And God's purpose is the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The universe was created for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. I love that. The fall took place according to God's purpose for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything God does is for the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's eternal purpose is the cross of Christ. Now, second thing, the cross is God's eternal purpose, and the cross is God's revelation of himself. There's no knowing the living God apart from the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look here in 1 Corinthians 1, verses 23 and 24. We preach Christ crucified. That's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, isn't it? That's what we preach. That's who we preach. We preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews, a stumbling block, scandalous, something that they don't agree with. The religious people, unto the Greeks, utter foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and Christ, the wisdom of God. Now, when he's talking about Christ crucified, here he mentions two attributes, but every attribute of God is displayed in the cross. That's what's so glorious about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever attribute there is of God is displayed in the cross. But he mentions too, the wisdom of God and the power of God. Now, it took the wisdom of God to make a way for God to be utterly just and yet justify somebody sinful like me and make it to where I stand before God without guilt. Justified. Perfectly righteous. Sinless before God. Only the wisdom of God could make a way. And this is to manifest His glory. Only the wisdom of God could make a way for God to be just, be consistent with His character, true to who He is, punish sin, and yet save somebody like me when in and of myself, I'm nothing in and of myself but an ungodly sinner. And He can take this ungodly sinner and make me stand before His presence without guilt, sinless, perfect. Now, only the wisdom of God could come up with a way for that to take place. I couldn't and you couldn't. And only the power of God could execute this. Only the power of God could put away sin. Only the power of God could make God become flesh, the Son of God become man. Only the power of God could keep God's holy law perfectly. Only the power of God could make my sin to not be and make me perfectly righteous before God. You see, Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the power of God. Now, the cross of Christ is our salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:18, once again, for the preaching or the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved. Now, that's being saved, unto us which are being saved. And if you're being saved, it's because you've been saved. Unto us which have been saved. And if we've been saved, we will be saved. There's a time coming when we're not going to deal with the flesh anymore. Unto them which are saved, the preaching of the cross is the power of God unto salvation, which leads me to my next point. Let's consider the accomplishments of the cross of Christ. Now, every morning when I get the paper, I got a new paper boy that sometimes I'm not getting it. I'm paying as much as I am. You'd think I'd get it every morning, wouldn't you? But I don't know what's going on. Didn't have it Friday. But I always read the obituaries. And quite often you read of the accomplishments of those people during their life. They'll have big long ones and list their accomplishments. Now, one thing I don't want in an obituary is anything but my name. You know, that's it. It's almost embarrassing the way people talk about all the accomplishments and the legacy they've left and all the things they've done by their life. Well, the Lord did accomplish something by His death, didn't He? You know, when you and I die, what does it say about us? It says one thing: we're sinners. That's the most comprehensive thing you could say about your life. Talk about all these accomplishments. Well, I'm glad you did all those things. More power to you. But the reason you die is because you're a sinner. That's the most accurate thing that could be said about me and you. We're sinners. That's why we die. The wages of sin is death. And all our death says is failure. Sinner. Coming short of the glory of God. That's what my death says. That's what your death says. So you might have a big obituary talking about all your accomplishments, but it's very hollow. It's very hollow. It's not real. It's blowing smoke is all it is. But when the Lord died, totally different. Totally different. Look in Luke chapter 9. This is on the Mount of Transfiguration, when two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared when the Lord was transfigured. And I love this. And behold, there talked with Him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of His decease, which He should, what's the next word? Accomplish. Accomplish. At Jerusalem. Talking about Him being nailed to a cross, there's something he accomplished by that. Now, let me give you several things. Number one, on the Lord's part, this is the greatest act of obedience ever. How he obeyed his Father's will. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He trusted his Father completely, even while he was being nailed to a cross. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. This is the greatest act of obedience ever. The cross of Christ is the complete accomplishment of the glory of God. The complete manifestation of the glory of the blessed God. The Lord said in John chapter 17, verse 4, that great high priestly prayer for his people right before he was going to the cross. And he lets us listen in on that. As a matter of fact, if you have a... try to read John 17 this week. What a blessing that would be to you to just read everything that the Lord said as the great high priest of his people at this time. But he said in verse 4, I have glorified thee on the earth. I finished the work thou gavest me to do. Now, no doubt part of the work is saving his people. I'm thankful he did that, aren't you? But the complete work is the full glorification, the manifestation of the glory of the blessed God. He glorified God completely. It's the greatest act of obedience. It's the complete glory of God. Now, third, turn with me to Colossians 1. Here is what the cross accomplished. Verse 20, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the reason this is true is because of who died. It's Christ that died. Anybody else dying wouldn't do anything, but it's Christ that died. And look what he did. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross. Now, we need to be careful. I don't want to get coronavirus any more than you do. But if I get coronavirus and die, you know what that day will be? The best day of my life. You see, he made my peace. And I don't have to do anything to work up a peace with God because he made it for me. God is at peace with me. He's satisfied with me. He's satisfied. There's nothing else he's looking for. Having made peace. And I want somebody to say to me, have you made your peace with God? No, I have not. He made my peace with God. Having made peace through the blood of his cross by him. To reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime or before time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. This is what his cross has done. To present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now that's the glory of the cross. Everybody Christ died for, right now, is holy, is unblameable. Nothing to reprove you for in his sight. Look in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Here's what he did. Verse 13, and you being dead in your sins, And the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him. That's when life took place, when he was raised. Having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Now, that's all about God's law. God's law has all kinds of things against us. You've broken every commandment nonstop. I hope you believe that. You've broken every commandment nonstop. God's handwriting of ordinances against you, you know what he did by the cross? He blotted them all out. And now there's nothing to condemn me for. All the law has to say is, he's accepted. He's kept me. There's no sin. That's what the Lord Jesus did by his death on Calvary's tree. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? I love the scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising, counting as nothing, the shame. Now, the word shame lets us know something of the guilt he experienced, that he was actually ashamed of the sin. It actually became his. I'm ashamed of my own sin. I'm ashamed of any believer's sin as far as that goes. I don't want to be indifferent about that, but I'm particularly ashamed of my own sin. Well, the Lord experienced shame on the cross when God's people's sins were made his. But he counted it nothing, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. You know what that joy was? The joy of doing his Father's will. He said, my meat and drink is to do the will of him that sent me. And what joy he experienced, even going to the cross, knowing he was doing his Father's will. And you know what else his joy was? Saving me. Saving you. Do you know that when he went to the cross, if you're a believer, your name was on his heart? He knew what he was doing for you, making you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight, and what joy he experienced in doing that. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. This is such an important scripture. I'm running out of time here. Let me kind of put it on double speed. Verse 11. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. He said, if I was preaching works, I wouldn't be being persecuted. And if I'm preaching works, the offense of the cross has ceased. Now, what is the offense of the cross? Well, for one thing, you know, it says he was made a curse for us in Galatians chapter 3, and he was made sin. Do you know that? The word offense is scandalous. That seems scandalous, doesn't it? To say that the Son of God was made all that sin is? That seems scandalous. And even saying that makes me feel uncomfortable, because no one knows who he is. But it's what the Bible teaches, but it seems scandalous. The only thing more scandalous than I can think of than that is me standing amongst the redeemed in glory. Now that seems like a scandal. Me, this man speaking to you, being in that great heavenly choir, singing the praises of the redeemed, why, that seems scandalous. Yeah, it does to me. The scandal of the cross. The offense of the cross, it is a scandal to. That's what the word is. That, you think of this. The cross offends men's self-righteousness because it says we don't have any righteousness. None at all. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. The cross offends men's sense of My rights. I want my rights. The cross says you don't have any rights. You lost them all in Adam. And now you're in the hands of a sovereign God who can save you or pass you by as he's pleased. It's all up to him. You don't have any rights because of your fall in Adam and your sin in Adam. The cross offends men's pride because it doesn't give us anything to be proud about. Salvation's not by our works. It's by his grace. The cross offends men's wisdom because it says we're shut up to revelation. We can't figure this out. It's up to God to reveal himself to us. Just like you'll not know the words going on in my mind unless I let you know and reveal them. You can guess, but you can't know. The only way you can know the gospel, the only way you can know God is if he makes himself known to you. The cross offends men's love of self. And I thought about this. I wish I knew how to say it the way it ought to be said, but the Lord said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. What we're talking about right now, this confession of who God is. I'm to take that cross up. Somebody says, I've got a cross to bear. Don't talk like that. You've got a cross to pick up if you're a believer. You willingly pick up this cross, this confession of Christ. You glory in this message, and this is your message. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 1, and I, brethren, when I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring in you the testimony of God. For I determined, I made this my determination, not to know anything among you, save what? Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, why did Paul make this determination? I mean, that's a pretty drastic statement. I'm not going to know anything among you. I'm not going to talk about anything else. I'm not going to be interested in anything else. This is the only thing I'm going to speak of. Jesus Christ and him crucified, and I'm not going to talk about anything else. Now, that's what he said, isn't it? That's what he said. Why? Because there's nothing else to talk about. That's why. This is the only message of the Scripture. He's not choosing to ignore other parts of the Scriptures to talk about the most important part. He's talking about the only message of Scripture. Jesus Christ and him crucified. Have you seen yourself? Not just because you've heard the preacher say it. Have you seen yourself that Jesus Christ and him crucified is the only message of Scripture, and it covers everything. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 12, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves, which are circumcised, keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. You know, that is a summary of man's religion. He wants to get you to be obedient. He knows deep down he's not obedient, but if he gets you to be obedient, that'll be a feather in his cap, and he can glory in your flesh. Look at the influence I've had over this person. But God forbid that I should glory. This is Paul speaking. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one thing we're allowed to glory in. Not my knowledge, not my works, not my preaching, not my relationships, not my efforts. One thing every believer glories in and has confidence in and rejoices in. The cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else. What is that to you? Do you glory only in the cross? Well, I've got a reason for glorying in the cross, only in the cross, because I don't have anything else to glory in. I really don't. I know that. I know as sure as I'm a foot and a half high that I don't have anything to glory in but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But how I glory, how I rejoice in the cross. Now, in our text, one back to 1 Corinthians 1. You know what I'd love to have brought to my charge? He didn't preach anything but the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I'd love to have that laid to my charge. I've had people complain about that. Well, you listen to that guy, you've heard what you've heard all he's got to say. Good. Good. I don't want it to be any other way. For the preaching, verse 18, for the preaching, the word of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God unto salvation. The cross is the power, the omnipotence of God to salvation. Do you find it so? May God give us all the grace to find it so. Amen.